Bob is here. JP is on. We'll call the meeting to order. This meeting is taking place via the teleconference pursuant to executive orders N-25-20 and N-29-20. Board of directors and employees of Navigator Schools. Our meeting via Zoom. Members of the public who wish to access have been provided information online. Members of the public attending online who wish to comment during the board meeting, we use the online raise hand tool in Zoom when the chairperson elicits public comments. Members of the public planning to attend by phone are requested to confirm. Again, that number is on the line. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time limit shall be extended to 6 minutes. At its discretion, the board may limit the total time allotted to public comments and set new time limits for individual comments. Board reserves the right to mute and remove a participant from the meeting if the participant is unreasonably disruptive. Requests for disability related modifications have been made available to those needing it and as required by Section 202 of the Americans with Disability Act. Sean, can you take the record of attendance, please?
Chuck Daggs.
Present, sorry.
Pia Oman. Ian Connell.
Present.
JP Anderson.
Present.
John Flaherty.
Present.
Nora Crivello.
Present.
Char Hegde.
Present.
Victor Pretis Fonia.
Present.
We have a quorum.
The meeting will be called to order. Are there any public comments, Sean? Did anyone ask to speak on items not on the agenda?
There were no requests for public comments.
Okay. Finishing up section one, we'll move to D, board chair's opening remarks. For the sake of brevity, I will save my remarks for the governance committee report, and we'll move on to board resolution concerning AB 361, reaffirming the virtual meetings. Or the board will vote on the resolution reaffirming the continuing necessity of virtual meetings due to COVID-19. Do I hear a motion to approve that resolution? Chuck moves and Victor seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Nora Crivello.
Aye.
Char Hegde.
Aye.
Victor Pretis Fonia.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Sean. Moving to section F, approving minutes from the special board meeting of January 31st, 2022. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Nora, so moved.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Chuck seconds. Do I hear any corrections, amendments, or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, the board will call the vote. Sean, would you vote to approve the minutes of January 31st, 2022?
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Mark Crivello.
Aye.
Char Hegde.
Aye.
Victor Pretis Colonia.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Sean. Moving to approving the minutes of the board meeting of January 27th. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Yep, so moved.
Nora moves. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Chuck Dagg seconds. Do I hear any discussions, amendments, or corrections and changes? Hearing none. We will move for approval of the meeting minutes of January 27th. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
DP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Mark Trivello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
We'll move to Section 8, approving of the minutes of the special board meeting on December 29th, 2021. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
JP, so moved.
Thank you, JP. Do I hear a second?
Ian seconds.
Ian seconds. Is there any discussion, corrections, amendments? Hearing none. Sean, would you call to approve the minutes for the special board meeting of December 29th? 2021.
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Mark Trivello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Sean. Moving to the final approval of minutes, Section I, approving the minutes of December 14th, 2021. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
I'm going for hat trick.
Nora makes a motion. Do I hear a second?
Ian seconds.
Is there any discussion, corrections, or amendments to the minutes of December 14th? Hearing none. Sean, would you call the roll for approval of the minutes of December 14th?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Mark Trivello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. And my thanks to the board for going through all of those roll call votes. We'll try and see if we can move those to a unanimous consent in the future. I'm told that that's difficult, but it also shows that the board has been fairly busy these past couple of months. So thank you for all of your work. Moving to Section 2. Committees, the Academic Success Committee update. Ian, would you provide an update of the recent activities of the Academic Success Committee?
Yeah, I can tee it up, but maybe James, I'll tap you to give a deeper overview, but the materials were sent out. But what I'll just share is the big picture on some of our goals for the year and being anchored around STAR. So for those that are not as familiar, we're using STAR for both math and reading. So these are the short tests, like 30 minutes each, that are computer adaptive. So they adjust to student performance and highly correlated in studies to SBAC proficiency. And the whole goal that we've set up are actually twofold on both reading and math. And it's basically aligned to both growth and overall with the goal of getting back to our long-term goal of getting back to pre-COVID levels on SBAC in both math and ELA. So maybe James, you want to chat a little bit about kind of what you put together on those?
Sure, I would be happy to. I think based on some good feedback from the committee, we arrived at two different measures for the reading and the mathematics, which are, as Ian said, growth and just absolute scores, which I think tell a different story and are important. And Sharon also is kind of leading the charge with the social emotional learning, which is the panorama assessment. And I guess the big question is, are there any questions from the board, or do those look like something that we could move forward with for the next year or two? I don't think that, you know, long-term this would be the ultimate growth measures, because our goal right now by the end of 2024 would be to be back where we were, or actually 2023, sorry. So I'll just open up the board with any questions.
Yeah, Sharon, can you talk a little bit about the panorama?
Yeah, so in the board materials, I kind of tried to build a background for that. It's a survey instrument that literally thousands of schools have used, and Navigator's been using it, I believe, for the past at least 5 years. And it it aligns with the social emotional learning curriculum that our students have been getting every week for the past 4 years, I believe. And this survey allows us to measure students' growth in different areas. And so 3 times a year, we administer it to students, grades 3 through 5, and of course the middle school. So it's two separate surveys. Same idea. They're trying to hit at the same concepts. And we've chosen to really look at students' connectedness to an adult, to their ability to think they can do great things, which is self-efficacy. And then that an area of that we're looking at is self-regulation. And you saw our focus we would like to have for this coming year and probably a couple of years really is that self-efficacy, because it's so linked to academic performance as well as students' behavioral success, their ability to think they can. And so we're using that instrument to guide some of our actions, which we've started on in January more formally.
There are other instruments that other schools use?
Oh, sure. I'm sure there are. Panorama is a very well-known one that we were, when we attended, I believe it was either CCSA or maybe a multi-tiered system of supports conference, but a large, large conference. They presented the survey instrument to us, and it comes with lots and lots of research behind it. There's nationally normed scores that we're using for our metrics this year. So we want to at least get to the 50th percentile in self-efficacy. And one of our schools actually surpassed that this last survey rating, which was very exciting. So I can be it's a spoiler alert if you want me to share, but I can wait.
For purposes of time, we'll wait for the surprise. But on the spectrum of products, it's a fairly good one. It's toward the better end.
Well, we think so. I mean, I haven't, to be honest with you, I've looked at a few other survey instruments, but this one, if you look at the materials that go along with it, kind of the deepness of the whole thing, it's not just the survey. You can dig into the survey, you can drill down to race, and you can drill down to language to disaggregate data, and then you can there's practical strategies, lots and lots of questions, and they're all tied towards those social emotional learning competencies. But you know, I would, if someone else has another instrument that they like better than Panorama, we're certainly open to looking at it. For us, it's been very helpful and user friendly for the staff.
Mm-hmm. Good. Are there, John, any questions? Go ahead, Jim.
John, I would just add on Panorama. I think some of the value is also just a huge data set of that you could compare against, because they have, I don't know the exact number of students, but I think in the millions of students or something that they're, that we're able to compare against, which helps to contextualize the information.
Thanks.
Ian, it's fair to say it's kind of the industry standard, isn't it?
Yeah, they're the leader in that category.
Thanks, helpful. Any questions for Ian and James, Sharon? Okay, anything else, Ian?
No, the last thing I just add, there's some look at the data, the current unit 1 and unit 2 assessments for in the deck, and also benchmarked against unit 2 for 2019. So it's good to see the huge growth that the team has achieved over the year. So just want to give a shout out to everyone in schools and on the academic team for helping to drive that. But it also shows kind of where we were before. So it's like our goal for the future, but I think a lot to be celebrated in some of those slides.
Thanks, Ian. We'll move on to section B, the Finance Committee update. Victor.
Thanks, John. So the Finance Committee hasn't met prior to this meeting. We have our meeting scheduled for February 16th, so next week. At that point, we'll be meeting and discussing the financials. So at this rate, I don't have an update based on the current financials.
Okay. Thank you. Amy, anything to that we should know, the burning platforms at all or anything?
I'm going to speak for Amy, just in case you were wanting to say.
She was shaking her head no.
Voice is hurting. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. So at our next finance committee, we will be reviewing our draft audit, and we'll also be looking at the LCAP update. And the third item is looking at budget projections for next year so that we can consider at our February board meeting that we'll soon schedule, potentially authorizing salary increases so that we can get the memo letters out to our staff. So those are the things that we will be taking to the finance committee on the 16th, and they'll be reviewing it on the way to the board.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Amy. Any other questions for Victor, Kevin, or Amy, or Kevin, and something that Amy can nod at? Hearing none, we will move on to the Governance Committee report. The Governance Committee did not meet. It was, its chair was primarily busy for the past few weeks with personnel and organizational issues. We have a Governance Committee meeting scheduled for next week. Nora and Ian and I will meet then. I want to inform the board that at that meeting, we will begin what we talked about with the organization, both with the board and senior staff, with respect to developing an organizational evaluation and scope that will in, that will develop a number of areas, including the operational organizational review, evaluations, incident procedures, the scope of responsibilities, if we need to increase our operational capacity, what is the best way to do that? So there'll be a lot of activity that we will push down to the governance committee and we'll move forward. And for staff that are currently online here for the board meeting, I'll be coming to you as well as others with respect to questions and learning more about sort of what you all do specifically. So look forward to that. And to the board, the governance committee will draft, as we indicated in our last meeting, we'll draft many of you individually to help us out, given your subject matter expertise on a variety of different issues. So please be prepared for that. Do I have any, are there any questions? We'll keep you posted. Tom, this will come through you, obviously, so that we are respectful of the Brown Act and with respect to reaching out. The other thing that we'll be developing is an internal communications mechanism that is appropriately designed to respect the Brown Act, but allows the entire organization to be communicated to from the board in one form or another. And we'll be working on that. The other thing we'll be working on, which will be important, is how the organization deals with data. And specifically, what are the various formats that we can sort of use? Are there criteria that we can use that allows sort of a, well, I won't say uniformity, but allows a common baseline for the board and others to understand? So we'll be looking to utilize data more in terms of the organization and how we present data and how it is presented to the board and to other segments of the organization. So more on that as well. That's some of the things that the governance committee will be taking on beginning this week. There's also some personnel, outside contractors we need to hire. We've made some progress on one, and we'll be working on a couple of other folks as well. So any questions? Hearing none, we will move on to section three, the topic. And Benjamin, can you talk about section A, the school accountability report card for Gilroy Prep?
Yes, and good evening. And I'll be covering all three schools, if you don't mind, just because the SARC covers all three schools. As a reminder, and also as new information, if you're not familiar with the SARC stands for School Accountability Report Card. And this is required for all public schools in California. And the SARC is due by February 1st of every year. And the SARC provides information to the community to allow public comparison of schools for student achievement, environment, resources, and demographics. I coordinated with support office and school staff of Gilroy Prep, Hollister Prep, and Watsonville Prep to collect, verify, and report the required information. The SARCs for each school site can be found online, and those links are in the memo in the board packet. And then the recommendation is that the board approves these SARCs for both for all three school sites, Gilroy Prep, Hollister Prep, and Watsonville Prep. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Benjamin? Hearing none, do you want to move on to Hollister Prep?
Yeah, John, I covered for all three school sites, if that was okay.
All three schools, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Benjamin. Good report, good summary. Thank you for putting it in perspective. We'll move to Section D, the COVID-19 update.
I'm sorry, John, we do need to,
we need to vote, right, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll have three separate votes. We have to have three separate votes. The board will vote on approval of the Gilroy Prep SARC. Do I hear a motion to approve it?
Is JP so moved?
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Victor seconds.
Thank you, Victor. We've had a discussion. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, can we haven't lost our quorum, Nicholas, so we can continue even though your baby has left the scene. Hearing none, Sean, will you call a vote to approve the report card for Gilroy Prep?
Chuck Tags?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion to approve the SARC passes unanimously.
Moving to item B, the approval of the report card for Hollister Prep. Do I hear a motion to approve the SARC for Hollister Prep?
So move.
Thank you, Chuck. Do I hear a second?
Ian seconds.
Thank you, Ian. Any additional discussion? Hearing none. Sean, would you call for the approval of Hollister Prep?
Chuck Dags?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion to pass the HPS SARC is approved unanimously.
And finally, approval of the report card for Watsonville Prep. Do I hear a motion for approval on that?
So move.
Thank you, Chuck. Do I hear a second?
JP, I'll second.
Thank you, JP. Any additional discussion? Hearing none. Sean, would you call the roll for approval for Watsonville Prep?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Crivello? Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Perez Colonia?
Aye.
Motion to pass the WPS SARC. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Sean. Moving on to section D, the COVID-19 update. Kevin, can you provide us with a update on the status of COVID-19, apart from our three staff members?
Is my screen showing?
Yes.
This beautiful data. Now this looks at the sites, not at our support office, but at the sites we are down to 5 absent from a high that we reached when we first, that first week we came back from winter break, 43. So this is network wide. We're down to 5 staff who were absent. And then in terms of the new staff positive and staff COVID absent, again, at the sites, we're showing zeros, which is quite a big change. So that's very positive. And then I'll show the other data point before taking any questions. So these are the students that are not on site. Now the top area, these students are not on site because of long-term independent study. They are not accounted for in these other charts. So we saw a slight increase there, but the students that are not on site has dropped tremendously to now looking at these numbers. So we have for WPS down to 4, HPS down to 16, and down to GPS down to 5. So very encouraging that we're beyond, I think, the spikes that we had from the Omicron at the school sites.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, are there any indications from any of our staff members that they're suffering from long-term consequences? Do we have any staff members that are at risk of that?
You know, none that have been brought to my attention. I'll see if Kirsten, if you've heard any of that or any of our principals, they can speak up too.
No, that has not been brought to our attention. I'm looking at Melissa from an HR standpoint as well, and she's shaking her head no. So no, we've not had any long-term consequences or risk consequences brought to our attention.
And then on the assumption that Newsom is going ahead with his ending the mask mandate, are there any consequences for us on that?
So, Kevin, you want me to take this?
Yes.
He did say he is going to lift the indoor mask mandate for the state next week, but the school mandate will still stay in place at least for another month. People are saying that might be lifted mid-March, at which point there will be probably a different conversation we are going to need to have as an organization about whether or not we still want to enforce a mask mandate. That will be a conversation the board will probably need to take up if he does lift it at the schools next month.
If we had to decide now, I'm just curious what you guys would recommend moving forward.
I'm from a staff point of view, we would definitely recommend moving forward with keeping the mask mandate. Our staff members, I see all the principals nodding. Our staff members are all still requesting the KN95 masks. They want that added level of protection. At our sites, we have small groups of parents who are not quite anti-maskers, but are going to be a little more hesitant if there is not a mandate to keep their kids in school. But if you had to ask me today, I would recommend, and I don't see anybody shaking their head to argue with me, I would recommend we keep the mandate in place.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. Kirsten, would you coordinate with Sean and Kevin to make sure that the board is sort of notified that they need to have a possibly a scheduled meeting at some point during the month of March.
Absolutely.
Call. Thanks. That would be very helpful. So, other questions regarding COVID-19 and the update provided by Kevin? Hearing none, we'll move to the Gilroy Prep School campus safety update. Specifically, I think the homeless camp, right, Kirsten?
Yes. Kevin, do you have this on your slide deck or do you want me to just share mine?
Kirsten, it's better if you share.
Okay. All right. Ben, I should have had you keyed up to be my tech person today too, but that's okay. All right. So as you all saw in your packet, we have had an update on the encampment of our homeless encampment behind Gilroy Prep School. And just quick reminder, just so you know, in your packet you had, it was that gold horse or oval shape that is right behind Gilroy Prep School. It goes up against the railroad tracks. So that border IOOF. So right behind the portables on that side of the campus. What wasn't in your packet, but what was sent to me by our Gilroy Police Department corporal is he went through, and this is how we were actually able to make some progress. He went through the plot map for each of those areas to find out who actually owns all of that land, because that was one of our earliest sticking points was, whose responsibility is it? Is it the city? Is it the water district? Is it the railroad? Is it the school district, private property? So wonderful Gilroy Police Corporal went through and plotted it and then was able to find out it was Gilroy Unified that owns the plot of land that we are most concerned about. So in working with the school district, we've been able to, one, you guys have known about the encampment. I then worked on that with the district. We then, our staff, thank you, Jesse Cornea, who happens to be on here, and some very active Gilroy Prep School parents were constantly contacting the city and unfortunately not getting a lot of resolution, again, because nobody knew who the land belonged to. Then over break, I contacted the mayor, all the city council members, and the city manager. And then John contacted the mayor as well and got a response. I got a response almost immediately that said, oh, that's not our land, but we are going to get you in touch with the police corporal who's going to help you work on this. So he then told me it was the district. We talked with the district, and there's a process that is going to take a little bit of time. But what it is Gilroy Unified, the owner of the property, in conjunction with Navigator, we sent language to Tom to approve for some of our own no trespassing signs. They worked with the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office and the Gilroy Police Department to implement a plan that will both cite anybody who is violating the no trespassing with a certain penal code that deals with school property and children. And they're also going to help to come up with a plan to relocate the residents of the encampment. The school district has had, unfortunately, some experience with this during the COVID, first few months of COVID, when nobody was allowed on the various campuses. Their district office, an encampment was built behind the district office with tunnels underneath the district office. And you weren't just able to, nobody wanted to just evict the residents of the encampment. So they did come up with a plan to help relocate them. So it is not the first time the districts had to do this. So what, I'm going to go through it all and then you guys can please ask me as many questions as you want. So the Gilroy Unified is in the process of placing no trespassing signs. They're actually going to go out on Thursday with members of the Gilroy Police Department. The signs go up saying that you are in violation of the penal code that deals with California schools. They then will cite any of the current occupants and give them a 30-day notice to relocate. If after 30 days they are not gone, they are actually then able to go in and arrest them. However, during those 30 days, they're also going to be working with them. They've had the Gilroy Compassion Center and the Gilroy Resiliency Center has been working with them in the past to help them relocate. So it isn't going to be an overnight process, but it has started. We have signs on our property. Gilroy Unified is putting the signs on their property. And the police department will be going in with them to help them find a new place to reside. We've shared this communication with our parents and staff, letting them know that there is a resolution to end the process. I am constantly in contact with both Gilroy Police Department, Dr. Flores from Gilroy Unified, as well as the Gilroy. Gilroy Unified has a resource officer who is handling this. I'm in contact with them almost every other day, and I will stay as part of this, as part of pretty much the main contact point until the situation is resolved, at which point any violations, I'll work with the school site office to handle those. And the police chief, the city manager, and the Gilroy Unified superintendent, they meet biweekly, and this is going to stay on their meeting agenda until the situation has been resolved. So please, any questions or any clarifying points anybody needs?
Any questions for Kirsten? Thanks, Kirsten. Terrific report.
Thanks.
And it looks like we're heading the right way. We'll move on to section F, the Form 700 reminder. Sean, would you remind us all about Form 700? Tom, feel free to pipe in.
Sure. So it's that time of year again. The deadline as it currently stands is April 1st. So that means your documents just have to have a postmark no later than April 1st, and they'll be fine. I'll probably follow the same procedures as the last round, where I'll send you all the board staff and board members a blank Form 700 cover sheet, and I'll include a return envelope that you can use to place your completed sheet in and mail that back to me. A few people do some of the schedules, but not many. So every time we do it, people tend to be more comfortable with it. I think it takes less time. So it was pretty smooth the last time. So April 1st, as it currently stands.
Great. Tom, anything to add?
I would just like to remind the board that the Form 700 is under penalty of perjury. So you want to have your best information. And if any board member has any questions, or if I could be of any assistance, to feel free to contact me through regular channels.
Thank you, Tom. We'll send out a reminder to folks. Sean will keep us.
Definitely. Several reminders, and I'll probably begin this process right at the end of February.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. We'll now move to G, the proposal for a partnership with Hayward Collegian. We have 75 minutes for this time allotted, 75 minutes, and we'll culminate with a vote on the proposal that was in our materials. Kevin, do you want to begin the presentation and discussion, please?
Sure. Thank you, John. Good evening again, board. I want to first mention that we do have Nina Goswami here with us in the event that you have any questions for her. John, we were, for the most part, planning staff here to respond to any outstanding questions that the board members may have. I'll give a brief recap on the newest materials that were provided. One is that the memo that I shared is a recommendation to approve the merger. that it does include that one of the main issues that came out of our subcommittee with Chuck, Shar, and Ian and was their concern around moving perhaps too fast, given some of the capacity challenges we may have at the support office, as well as some of the potential culture issues at Hayward Collegiate. So the recommendation was to move forward on the legal side and plan very conservatively what the implementation and the implementation plan would be. I'm drawing a blank on the other word, integration plans. So I don't want to speak just for you subcommittee members, so please chime in if I misspoke in any way on that kind of brief summary. Shara, Ian, or Chuck? Okay, so hearing none, I think I captured that. The new information that we shared included that Nina received the Prop 39 offer from Hayward Unified School District. It is a better offer than they've had in the past. It's a closer school site, but there's also challenges. It's it would be shared with another charter school, the Key Academy Charter, which could be a competition issue. Perhaps some bright spots on that in the sense of potentially model providing or other shared partnership opportunities possibly. That being said, I'd say the main issue with considering the Prop 39 offer is whether the current students and families would find that accessible to them, because it is about 2 miles away. So there'd be some due diligence to happen that we would need to dig in on over the next month to inform that process, but that, you know, Nina's really holding that right now in terms of what that response would be with Prop 39 to the district by March 1st. It is a preliminary offer, but it is encouraging because, like I said, it is a better offer than what Hayward Collegiate has received in the past. And then the other piece of added information in the packet was that Amy completed the 5-year long-term projections, integrating Hayward Collegiate and showing the healthy fund balances that we have, and basically pointing to the feasibility from a financial standpoint with the projection. So I'm happy now to pause and see if there's any questions. And John, I think, you know, if you want to facilitate any discussion on the board part, I think that would be best for me to pass it to you. But, you know, staff and Nina are here to answer questions.
Yeah, sure. And for purposes of discussion, we'll recognize Nina as a partner. Nina, please feel free to jump in at any time without, without serving as a member of the public. You're here as a subject matter expert, I guess, and we'd ask you to participate in the discussion if you see any points that need to be raised. Thanks, Kevin. Does anyone have any questions with respect to the report that was presented to us and the specific pieces of it? And Shara, Chuck, Ian, if you have general comments, now would be, I think, I would enjoy hearing from you.
I have a question, and I apologize if this was stated, or maybe I had to leave early the last board meeting, so maybe I missed it at that point. But what is the critical timeline for Hayward Collegiate with their current facilities? At what point do we hit a point of no return?
So at the current site, there is space to add next year a fourth grade classroom, the following year a fifth grade, and the year after that a sixth grade. The biggest challenge with the facilities is it would just be one classroom per grade level. Now, that is what we have in our projections right now, because that's what we know is feasible. But it would become a more healthy financial outlook if we were able to do the two classrooms per grade level. And then there's also the programmatic benefits of being more in line with how we divide our humanities and STEM curriculum. Nina, is there anything you'd like to add to that question?
Nope, I would agree. I think, you know, we have a pretty tight facility right now. So we do need to figure something out, but worst comes to worst, we can stay where we're at our current enrollment.
Okay. And sorry, Nina, I'm a parent, not a charter person. So some of these things may be dumb questions. Is the charter for a specific number of students per classroom, or is that after the charter is approved, the schools can fill in how many classrooms they're able to fill?
We have been approved to have two classes in each grade level, Navigator currently is.
Okay.
We reduced that just because we have a facilities constraint. But we have that available to us to be able to expand our enrollment if we need to.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments, particularly from
Chuck, do you want to go through a specific process on the questions and comments, or do you just want to popcorn the whole thing, whatever comes to the surface? Sorry, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a question to Chuck.
I was looking at Chuck's picture. He said his name. I'm sorry. Did you want to structure the conversation in a particular order, just kind of whatever comes to the surface?
Yeah, I think that would be the best. It's whatever concerns the board has for various pieces. I know I have a couple of questions, but I'd like to hear from other board members first.
Sure. Thank you.
Nina, I was wondering if you can give us a little more color into the political landscape, specifically if there's work being done on the advocacy front with Alameda County to protect some of the wins we might be able to get at the board level before June, and then hopefully after June. Is that infrastructure built? What's available to us to ensure that when we're moving into a brand new county, there are some things we can already tap into to establish political strength?
Yep. So I think the one benefit that Alameda County has is that Oakland is part of it, and which means CCSA has a pretty strong hold on influence there. So that's usually the first place we go. CCSA knows all of the board members really well, especially the ones that are pro-charter. That's one place that we can tap. And then I know I'm familiar with some of the funders of some of our other board members on the county. And so that's something that we can tap as well in terms of the first go-to institutions. Is that what you meant, Shara?
Yeah, I think that, down in Santa Clara County, for example, we have our charter community of Silicon Valley, which kind of operates on the 501c3 side. And then we also have some C4 work that we're engaging in our personal time. And so there's some infrastructure being built to protect our interests. Yeah. On both of these fronts. And I don't know Alameda County nearly as well. So I was curious to understand what infrastructure they are being built, because I do think it will be important that someone from Navigator has to plug in there.
Totally.
We are seeing a resurgence in Santa Clara County where all of the charter leaders are plugging in significantly more. And we are a more powerful group of schools as a result. So.
Yep. I would say the one thing that we also have going for us is that the county board members are very responsive to charter leaders. They try to have monthly meetings with us. They really try to build relationships with us, and they want that. So that's also just another opening.
Other questions? I'd like to follow up on the political questions. To Kirsten and also Shara too, if you have this. My sort of initial whip on this from the report was that there were two strong opponents to us. And then two, I'll say two strong yes votes. and then a likely third yes vote for us, and then some unknowns or some conditionals on the remaining two. Is that sort of how you would whip it, or am I not seeing something?
Nina, just to confirm, it is, we, as you said, we have the two that, and you'll have to remember the names because I don't remember their names as well yet there. The two absolute yeses, and then each of those two have two that list, or each of them has one who listened to them pretty closely, correct?
Yep. I've actually just had some conversations this week, so I would move the two to three. And I think we're pretty solid on our fourth one. She's just, right now, OUSD is shutting down schools, and that is really driving a lot of the anti-charter sentiment. And so she's asking that we present our hearing as an administrative request and not any more, you know, dramatic than it needs to be, which I think is an easy ask. So I think we have it, but at the same time, you know, you just never know who's going to email them at the last minute and who they're going to listen to.
That's pretty encouraging, your feeling of the status of things right now. Can it? I don't think we could expect more, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate the speaking in general terms at a public meeting for the record, that we not get into the personalities and other things. Appreciate that. On item four, on the union strength, there were some questions about our past experiences with labor union activity, but I didn't see any analysis of CTE in Alameda County. Are they well organized? Are they strong? Do you anticipate? And again, this is for Kirsten and Chara as well as Nina. Do you anticipate a focused effort on this, or any kind of effort on this? And just generally, compared to other counties or other school districts in Alameda County, what's their organization? I was surprised a little bit about how militant Pajaro was when we went into Watsonville. I wasn't expecting that. What can we expect here?
Nina, I will also, I do know at least one of the board members and who ran this last time ran against a very strong charter advocate, and had very strong, the person who's now in the board seat had very strong support from the local labor union. And that is correct.
Yep, that was from Oakland. Yep. Okay. So Oakland is way incredibly more activated than Hayward. That's one thing. Hayward is just not as organized. So it's not often something we deal with.
Okay. So in terms of rank and file, coming to the meeting and organizing it, you would be mildly surprised at that. I'm not going to hold you as a promise, but that would be out of character.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. Other questions folks have? And not just on the political, but on the finance and...
Hey, John, this is Victor. Just wanted to maybe learn a little bit more about Blue Box Consulting and how they're proposing to help get the remaining $1.1 million in funding.
I'll speak to the building blocks, and then I'll see if Kirsten would like to.
All right, thank you.
So, in terms of the what was listed in the material in terms of the funding gap to be able to effectively integrate Hayward Collegiate as our fourth charter of the Navigator Network, we are going to need to expand our support office to do that well. There, some of that that delta of the $900,000 or so would be there even without the merger. So the merger wouldn't mean that full amount, but to do the merger well, it is going to be important. So right now, Building Blocks is in the preliminary stages of formulating a fundraising plan for us. They've done extensive planning on the communication side. They're doing donor research right now. And Kirsten, if I'm correct, the next phase would be for them to present their initial communications plan and their initial plan sometime in the next 6 weeks or so. Is that about right?
That is correct. They're still working. Like, we do still need to work with the support core and this board on some of their next steps. But yes, the timeline is correct.
Victor, follow up?
No, that's helpful. It'd be nice to see what their proposal is. Maybe look at that in more depth.
Other questions or comments generally?
I think continuing on with the fundraising conversation, I was surprised to not see the risk of Hollister Prep's facility situation on here as a risk, more from the perspective of if we need to raise, you know, $2 million for Hayward Collegiate or Hayward Prepper. But we still have issues over at Hollister Prep facilities and potential future state challenges there that we're going to need to raise a lot of money for. Are those two things going to be mutually exclusive? Are we going to have the resources to fundraise for both of them? Are we sacrificing one for the other? Could we talk a little bit about how those interplay?
Sure. That's a great point, Nora, and a great question. I'd say first off, generally you're going after different pots of money for capital construction and for operating. So that's one reason why there's likely to not be much overlap. The other reason in this case is also the regional component. So we're going to be able to draw on a different pool of funders in the Hayward region to support our work there. Then we're really able to for our other schools at this point. So I would say those were the reasons why I really don't see it conflicting much. One encouraging note on the Hollister prep facility front that I didn't have a chance to share yet is that the Prop 51 grant that we applied for a few years ago, there was about $100 million of that $500 million pot that was set aside for charter schools that was not allocated. And the state allocations board just a couple weeks ago authorized those funds to be re-released. So there's going to be another application process that we're going to be applying for. Cool. And if we're able to get the Hollister School District support to do the similar type of proposal we had last time, which we did have their board and their superintendent approve, this was about 4 years ago. What we would, if we're successful, that grant, it's a grant that would fund 50% of the construction costs. And then they provide a low interest loan for the other 50%, like 3% low interest loan over 30 years. So it would be a great opportunity that would mitigate almost 100% of the private fundraising that we would need to do if that pathway is successful. So that's one pathway that we're encouraged to be able to pursue, just as a quick update there.
And Kevin, that pathway is open again? It's back on the table?
Yes, we have not seen the exact details of the most recent application process, but we already have our partners at Pacific Charter School Development who worked with us in Watsonville on the case, and we're going to collaborate with them, and they're going to bring in a consultant to help make that application process pretty smooth. The last time, it was a decent lift for our staff. Kirsten and Amy helping to pull together a lot of documents, but we've needed to do that for the merger due diligence. So we're pretty primed up and ready. I'd say the biggest barrier for that is going to be to get the school district's approval on the long-term use of their land for building new classrooms there. But that feels, and I would say that, I mean, that, well, that's the one hurdle. And then the second hurdle is being funded. Because last time we had a very competitive application. We had, I think it was 131 application points. And there were projects that were around 100 that did get funded and we didn't, because they divided the allocation up by different types of regions. And the suburban, which is what Hollister was, we didn't have a choice which one we got pegged in. They had their formulas, and so that was the most competitive one at that time. So we are hopeful that the odds will be better for us this time.
Cool. Kevin, what's your sense of the Hollister School District Board and whether they would sign on for something like that? I mean, I know that the risk is if the school closes, they have to assume the debt service payment. So is that like the thing that might stop them, or do you have a sense of how the votes would swing?
So the board is almost entirely new, Kirsten, huh? Compared to previously, we did have very encouraging site visits that Kirsten organized recently. I don't think, Shara, that that's going to be their main concern. I think their main concern is the relocation of two other partners that are using part of the site that we would need to build our full TK through 8, unless we went two stories. One story modular is preferable. You know, a two story option is possible if they are not willing to relocate those other two programs. Kirsten, is there anything there you'd like to add any color to?
Just to build on that, Char, we actually, as part of the conversation with some of the site visits, we have kind of broached the conversation about those two partners. So, and our political consultant has also been working, political consultant / land use consultant, has been having some of those conversations too and looking into possible relocation spots for those two programs. So none of this will be a surprise to the district, and there has been some significant positivity to any of those conversations.
Any other questions or comments? I would like to raise just one point for the record, which is in the one of the memos I read, the question was posed, what happens if material revision is approved? And we talked about Navigator continuing to expand its impact by succeeding in the following areas, and there were three items identified, only three, one on staff satisfaction, and the quote, I wrote it down, Navigator currently uses this as a defining objective, staff satisfaction. Navigator currently uses this as a defining objective for future growth. I think the defining, I want to note this so that it doesn't go into the record to be referred back to. The defining objective for Navigator for future growth and for the function of Navigator is its mission. The mission of that has been developed by the board and the staff and affirmed. That is the defining objective for future growth, for current performance, for everything that we do. The mission. And are we executing the mission? So I want to go back to that and note for the record that whenever we talk about things as permanent or as defining the organization, the mission of the organization, and providing what we do to the kids should be at the forefront of that. The other thing I want to talk about too, and this is for purposes of with Need Online, is working with Hayward Collegiate has helped Navigator to examine its model and to talk about the operational procedures and reorganization and things that that are going to occur that I mentioned in the governance committee. But it wasn't the only cause. There were other causes, as the staff knows, and we want to make sure that we don't put this all on Hayward Collegiate and Nina. We owe it to ourselves that these challenges were present before Nina and Hayward came. We know that the consensus is that by merging with them and creating a partnership, that it will help Navigator as well as Hayward, but by no means was it the cause of it. So just, I wanted to raise those 2 points for the record. Thank you.
Well, John, I think your point around the mission, you know, and I look at this merger and you think about what fundamentally is critical as far as drivers and what does success look like and how do we define it? It sure feels like the first thing you want to look for is there a need there that's aligned with our mission to serve these underserved families? And that's very clearly there, yeah. Very much aligned with what we're trying to accomplish.
I would agree. And given the fine work that the staff did with respect to this, the Navigator staff, as well as Nina and her team, it seems like we have a real opportunity to meet our criteria on a number of different fronts. So thanks, John.
I kind of want to riff off that, John, because that was my biggest concern with the proposal is that it didn't state at all, this is our mission and this is how it continues to fulfill our mission and our goals. And I think it's kind of a given because we all know the mission and we believe in it, but it needs to be more clearly stated. It needs to Chuck's point, go back to like, this is the data of the Alameda community and this is how it supports our data and this is how they align and this is how they go forward together. So I thought that not calling out the mission more specifically is a bit of a miss. And I think it's probably worth a little bit of a conversation, but it does feel that the overall schools, the missions are aligned, the purposes are aligned. I think what Nina has built is aligned with what Navigator believes in. I just think it needed to have been stated a little bit more. And I don't know if it's worth talking about more or not tonight. That's you, Kevin.
Well, I definitely agree, Nora, that was a miss to not name that more specifically. Clearly, there is alignment on our mission to serve more students and to expand. And the types of demographic the kinds of students that we look to open schools to serve clearly aligns with Hayward's. I think the miss might have also not been to bring back some of the points that were on the previous memo that spoke to those demographics. About 67% of students eligible for free and reduced price meals.
That would have been helpful.
Yeah, about 50% EL students. So, you know, there are the Hayward Collegiate, I say ours already because, you know, we've been working together very pretty closely. But they're, I'd say, a bit in between like Hollister and Watsonville in terms of, the level of need. Our Gilroy campus is the one that's closer to 50% FRL right now. So definitely alignment there, Nora, and definitely a mission fit.
Thank you.
Nora, why don't we, I'd like to offer an amendment to the resolution and I'll do this for discussion purposes as well, but I would move that in the fourth whereas, just a short insertion. It says Navigator, it currently reads as, whereas Navigator seeks to expand to a network of 5 schools and impact a larger number of students with its proven model. Following up on what you said, Nora, I'd like to say Navigator seeking to fulfill its mission by expanding to a network, I think just inserts what we've been talking about just as a quick reference for the record. Would I hear a second on that amendment to the resolution?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
John, if I could add just one small thing here.
Sure.
Having gone through this myself, one of the things that John and I and our respective organizations did is we actually looked at the mission of Alpha and rewrote it slightly to reflect our new reality. We're not touching the core here at all, but given the fact that we're bringing two organizations together, we're expanding geography, it is an opportunity, I think, to get better as a whole by investing both organizations in a common mission that reflects, you know, some of the old past work, but also opens the door for some of the future work that's going to happen, especially as we emerge from the pandemic. It's also just a good way to reset the organization to be mission grounded and to make sure everybody is on the same page moving forward. So that's not necessarily something that has to happen overnight, but I offer that as an opportunity, and I support the amendment that John is proposing.
Excellent point, Sean. Excellent point. John, did you get that, Sean? I'm presuming that you're writing this down so as you would be able
yes.
to read it. Okay. Any other comments or questions or having to do with the amendment and the mission generally, Shar's comments? Hearing none, I'll close discussion and call for a vote on the amendment. Do we need to do a roll call, Sean, or can we do a yays and nays?
I think we need a roll call to preserve it for the audio.
Okay, would you call the roll? One last check. Tom, is our general counsel on anywhere?
I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
Tom, do you see any problems with the amendment?
No, I think the amendment's fine. I'm actually redlining it as we speak.
Sean, would you read the amendment before the vote, please, just as it would read?
Sure. This would be after part of the fourth whereas. We'd add these words, Navigator seeking to fulfill its mission by expanding to.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Would you call the roll, please?
Can I ask a clarifying question before
yes.
we do roll call?
All right, please.
Can you do a real high level walk me through this process? Like, this resolution is confirming our intent, and then we do an application with the Alameda board, correct, for the charter revision?
Yes.
What are the high level steps after?
So that has been submitted. So
okay.
We let it continue forward. There will be a public hearing. Nina, we're expecting in March. Is that right? The March meeting in Alameda County?
They moved us up. So it'll be February 22nd, public hearing, and determination hearing April 12th. So either way, the determination hearing is still in April.
Okay.
They do it during the holiday, didn't they?
So Nora, once that part is complete, then we kind of shift to the legal side. I'll let Tom speak to that in terms of what that paperwork looks like for the state. And then we would also be working on our integration plan, seeing what makes sense to try to collaborate on for, you know, year one, year two, and put our plan together on the integration. Tom, could you speak to the legal part of the process, please?
Sure, you betcha, Kev. Thank you. So, on the corporate side, two nonprofit corporations are going to be merging. And the language that's used in the corporations code is there's a surviving corporation and there's a disappearing corporation. The spirit of the merger, based on our consultant's work, is it's a merger of equals. But the reality is, Navigator Schools as a corporate entity will continue, and Hayward as a corporate entity will disappear. So that's, and the goal is to have that happen as close to July 1 as possible. So the resolution speaks about the intent of moving forward, and the resolution directs the CEO or his designees to take steps to make sure the merger can happen. On the legal corporate side, that's what needs to happen in that time frame. It's fairly perfunctory. Sometimes there's delays at Secretary of State's office, but it's nothing that hasn't been done before, and it'll require a resolution or two along the way. But outside of that, that's about it.
Thank you guys for entertaining my questions. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for the clarification question, Nora. Other questions or clarifications before we call the roll? Hearing none, Sean, would you call the roll, please, for approval of the amendment?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Shar Hegde?
Could I actually abstain, Sean?
You may.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Victor Pretis-Colonia?
Aye.
The motion passes.
Sean, can you give me that revised resolution for signature, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions or comments to the resolution as a whole?
Despite all of my grumblings tonight and questions, I appreciate that it was a short, sweet, to the point, very easy to read, just the facts, ma'am. So I appreciate the packet that was put together. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Good point, Nora. And to go to your question, Nora, that you were saying, if I can use the consultant's point made in the last meeting, this is the engagement, not the wedding, but it is an engagement. So, any other questions?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge Kevin's work prior to this meeting. I think getting that email ahead of time with all of the information and being able to read it was really helpful and answered a lot of questions that were kind of floating around, even being as close to it as I was. So thank you for taking that proactive step. I think it was a really helpful thing for the board members, and to also be able to know, like, we can reach out and just talk to you if there's a concern that's percolating from those documents. I think it was very helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, Shara. Definitely a team effort on the Navigator staff, and great collaboration with Hayward Collegiate staff as well. So
yeah. We're
really excited.
Thank you, Nina, by the way, and to your team for all the work that you did in an expedited fashion.
Exciting opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing. I know we have been talking about we've been very deep in the technical aspects of all this, and I just kind of want to bring it back for me, how excited I am about this as a path forward, and just, Nina and all the work that she has done at Hayward, and just kind of the synergies between the two organizations that I've seen a few different instances of organizations coming together. And I think just this, feels just like a huge win around on both sides. And I think the 1+1, can equal 3 here. So I just want to be back to this is a really exciting moment for the organization. And I want to just name that. And we're really excited, Nina, to go through this with you. So I just felt like I wanted to share before we close out.
Thanks, Ian. I had mentioned before that Navigator has a beautiful origin story. And the first time I met Nina and spoke to her, there's a great origin story at Hayward. So as Shara said, we'll put the two together and take the elements of both. I'm excited about everything except the traffic to Hayward. That that is a challenge. So, but we'll overcome that.
We've got to find you some podcasts to listen to.
Yeah.
Hey, Nina, would you send us the date and details of the hearing and the vote so we can, I'm assuming it's virtual, but would love to tune in.
Definitely.
Kirsten, if you could keep your eye and any suggestions or insights you see that we can do from this end that helps, would you let us know?
Yeah, I'm going to be contacting you. We do have a mutual, Jim Copeland has been doing a lot of work up there, so I'd like for us to meet with him as soon as possible.
Okay. Good. Other questions or comments? Sean, would you call the roll, please, for approval of resolution 2022-03?
Judge Eggs?
Aye.
Oh, did we have a second and a motion for that?
We have a motion to approve the resolution. Do I hear a motion? I believe we did.
We already voted on this.
No, this is the.
Is this different?
Shara?
Sorry, I thought we already voted on.
We already voted on it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. So excited about it. Okay. We will do. We have any other issues? Do we have any other issues with respect to this section G? If not, we'll move on to the WPS interim report. Amy, are you presenting this or is someone presenting it for you?
I'm hoping Kevin might.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I thought I was on mute. This is a part of our agreement with the California Department of Education regarding Watsonville Prep that we would provide our interim financial reports to the board. So it's a perfunctory matter. And we did not list it for vote. It's not a required that the board vote on it, but it is required that we provide it on an agenda. And so that's what we're doing. So we're meeting that obligation and there's nothing outstanding to report on those financials. And when the finance committee meets later in February, they'll be looking at all the up-to-date financials for right. Watsonville Prep and the other charters as well.
And Amy's nodding her head in concurrence. Okay, terrific, thank you. Moving on to the February special meeting date and time for discussions. This is the board will remember we talked about in closed session that there was going to be the need for a February meeting having to do, I think, primarily with LCAP, if I'm right, if I remember correctly. Kevin, do you want to help with the discussion?
Yeah, so that was the initial number one item, John. So since then, though, the state pushed back the deadline on the audit until the end of February. So it'll be the audit, the LCAP, and then the third item will be the proposed salary increase for the 22-23 budget. And so we're expecting that all those materials will be going to the finance committee by the end of the week so that they'll have an opportunity to preview them before our meeting on the 16th. So ideally, I think, John, we would be looking for something the week of the 21st or as late as February 28th. But I'd say probably about an hour meeting should be sufficient. Generally, there's not a lot of controversy on any of those three items.
Thanks, Kevin. I know we've been given the approval of the minutes. We've been meeting an awful lot, and we appreciate the board's commitment to meet once again in February. Is it the board's preference to come to a date now, or can Kevin and Sean circulate dates? What's the board's preference on that in terms of that last week of February?
It's a question, can we knock out a date right now on this call?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd prefer to do that now.
Yeah.
Personally.
Okay. Kevin, do you have a, is there a sort of a time that we can start that's a consensus and work from there?
February 28th would be the first option. The next one would be looking at maybe the 24th or the 25th. The 28th of February would be our, I guess, staff's first choice if we had a choice.
And that's a Monday, correct?
Yeah, what time?
Oh, I am showing that's President's Day.
21st is President's Day, I believe.
Yeah.
Not 28th.
So, 28th is a regular work day.
Okay, right, 28th. Yeah. 28th. Yeah. Okay, 21st, okay. Staff can be flexible, so.
Is the board's preference an afternoon meeting at 2:30 or a evening meeting at 6? Nora?
2:30.
Sure.
Ian could do 2:30.
Okay. Ian. Chuck, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. JP, you're the other person with a job?
2:30 works.
Okay. Victor?
Sorry, I have that job.
Yes, sir. 2:30 is fine.
Okay, so 2:30 on the 28th. Did I miss asking anyone? I heard Ian.
Victor, did you say something at the back end?
I said 2:30 is fine.
Okay, sorry, I misheard you.
Yep, all good.
Okay, Shara, it's okay for you? Shara, 2:30 okay for you? Okay. Okay, seeing a consensus, staff preference for that Monday, we'll schedule the meeting for the 28th at 2:30. Tom, can you make that?
I can, John, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Right. Okay. Great. Good. Sean, would you reflect that in terms of communications to board members so they can put it in their calendars and things like that?
Yes.
Okay. I think that wraps it up. We have nothing else but for the agenda. And I want to thank the board and staff for coming in a little bit early from our schedule. So thank you very much. And I think some of that is the staff presentations that were informative and concise with respect to Hayward, Kirsten's on the safety piece, and Benjamin on the report cards. So thank you very much for your efforts on that, Kevin, on the COVID. So I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Thank you, Nora. A second?
And.
I heard a second.
Shara.
Okay. John, would you call the roll, please, to adjourn?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Rora Cavello?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Perez-Colonia?
Aye.
The motion to adjourn is approved.
Nice work, Tim.
Thank you. Yeah, good work. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Amy, get better. Crystal, get better. And James, continue to recover. Thank you.